Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 16 other major languages. Thousands tune in for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. Throughout history, people have desired to know the future. Human beings want to have a sense of being in control of their own destiny. For those who don't know God or reject the fact that He exists, they resort to things like astrology, divination, omens, and other occultic activities. And as Paul so aptly stated it in Romans 1:25, they worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. For those of us who are Christ followers, the details of the future are hidden from us too. But in the Holy Scripture, we have many predictive prophecies that reveal the bigger picture of how God will bring history as we know it to its conclusion. Since predictive prophecy makes up about one quarter of the Bible, it's something we can't afford to ignore. And yet, we hear comments like these: "Studying prophecy is divisive," or "Prophecy's too hard to understand." I say the study of prophecy doesn't need to be any more divisive than the study of any other portion of Scripture. And yes, it's true, there certainly are portions that are hard to understand. The study of prophecy isn't divisive in itself, it's people who are divisive. You and I can hold firmly to our understanding and our conviction without being overly dogmatic or judgmental. While we believe there's only one correct interpretation of the Scripture, we should approach the study of prophecy, and all Scripture for that matter, with a good dose of humility. However, to those who say the study of prophecy isn't important, I would ask this question: who gives you the authority to speak that way about God's Word? It saddens me, but our modern age, with all its conveniences, has only fostered biblical illiteracy, and it's left many people unable and unwilling to wrestle with difficult texts. You know, we become so accustomed to sound bites and quick two-minute reads. And too many professing Christians have never been taught how to properly study the Scripture. And too many have little or no interest. Yet the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Did you catch that? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and all Scripture is profitable. That should be sufficient motivation to study the Scriptures, including the prophetic portions. As we continue our study in the book of Daniel, we're looking at chapter 9. The first part of the chapter deals with Daniel's prayer for his people, the nation of Israel. Daniel understood from Jeremiah's writings that the time of the 70-year captivity in Babylon was drawing to an end. Daniel took Jeremiah's words literally. Daniel expected God to fulfill his word. And he also understood that God's promises would be realized through prayer. Daniel embraced the need for confession of sin and repentance as a prelude to restoration. Now, being extremely weary from his passionate prayers, about 3 p.m., that was the time of the evening offering, Daniel is stirred from his drowsiness by Gabriel and his message. Gabriel informed Daniel that his prayer had been heard from the beginning, and that he would now explain the vision Daniel had seen in the closing verses of chapter 8. If you recall, this was the vision that troubled Daniel greatly, and the vision which he says no one understood. So let's turn to that text and read that as we begin our study of the skill to understand. Here is Daniel chapter 9 and verses 20 to 27. Now, while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood, and till the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. While this isn't a long text, it is a very detailed one, and I want to humbly share with you what I've gleaned from the text, and I hope it will be a blessing. As we begin our study, it's important to keep several things in mind. The entire prophecy given by Gabriel has to do with Daniel's city and Daniel's people, that is, the nation of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. That's verse 24. Also, two different princes are mentioned, and we mustn't confuse them. The first is named Messiah the Prince, verse 25, and the second is the Prince of the People who is to come, verse 26. The entire time period is exactly specified as 70 weeks, verse 24. These 70 weeks are divided into three sections, a period of 7 weeks, then 62 weeks, and then a final week. We see that in verses 25 and 27. The beginning of this period of 70 weeks is definitely stated to be from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem in verse 25. The end of the 7 weeks plus the 62 weeks, or 69 weeks, will be marked by the appearance of Messiah the Prince, verse 25. And at a later time, after the 69 weeks, Messiah the Prince will be cut off, and Jerusalem will again be destroyed by the people of another prince who is yet to come, verse 26. After these events, we're informed that the 70th week will come. The beginning of this final week is clearly marked by the establishment of a firm covenant or treaty between the prince who is to come and the Jewish nation for 1 week, verse 27. In the middle of this final week, the prince will break the covenant, causing the sacrifice to cease and ushering in a time of great wrath. And finally, with the full completion of the 70 weeks, there will be a time of great and unparalleled blessing upon the nation of Israel, It's in verse 24. Now, in this text, Daniel was given by Gabriel the skill to understand the extremely important details of this vision. Some scholars express the opinion that these final verses of chapter 9 hold the key that unlocks our understanding of a large portion of the prophetic scriptures. Alvin McLean states it this way, and I'm quoting him, "Probably no single prophetic utterance is more crucial in the fields of biblical interpretation, apologetics, and eschatology." That's the end of the quote. The timing of Gabriel's appearance is significant. It was the time of the evening sacrifice or oblation. Of course, this daily sacrifice would have stopped when Jerusalem was destroyed, but Daniel probably had memories from his childhood of seeing the smoke from that offering rise from the temple site into the afternoon sky. The evening offering was a reminder that God accepts sinful man on the basis of a sacrifice that's offered on their behalf. This sacrifice typified the coming perfect Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, and his sacrifice on the cross for the sin of all humanity. And it's in this context that Gabriel reveals some very specific timing that relates to the first coming of Christ. In the opening verses of our text, Gabriel informs Daniel that he came to give you the skill to understand. Now remember, we noted earlier in our study of the book that Daniel was gifted by God with understanding in all visions and dreams. That's in chapter 1. But here was a dream in the end of chapter 8 that Daniel couldn't unravel, and it left him deeply troubled. So Gabriel said, "I've come to show you the meaning of what was previously unknown." And praise God, we're privileged by divine revelation to listen in on Gabriel's interpretation of the vision. In verse 24, Gabriel tells Daniel that 70 weeks, or literally 70 sevens, are determined for your people and for your holy city. The first challenge of interpretation is right here. What are the 70 sevens that Gabriel is talking about? My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back in 1 week to continue this study. If you'd like an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just request it by its title, The Skill to Understand. The quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, The Skill to Understand. I'd be happy to send one to you. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, The Skill to Understand. It's available in print or on an audio CD. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, The Skill to Understand, from the closing verses of Daniel chapter 9. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.